Why, hello there, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Thank y'all so much for joining me. As always, it's always good to be doing this podcast. Always good to be providing y'all with your pitcher streams for today and tomorrow to keep you one step ahead of your league mates, because I know that y'all like to win just as much as I do. That's why you listen. That's why you hang on to every word. I'm sure you're sitting there with the pen and paper ready to take notes to figure out who you're going to be streaming today and tomorrow. So I will be getting to that here in a second, but I want to talk a little bit first about Anthony's previous podcast, and he talked about getting the new bed and how it's how they're trying to solve the snoring problem. And my God, I feel that so hard. I relate so hard to that crap. I specifically remember going on vacation with my family whenever I was a kid, and my mother and my ex-brother-in-law had like a snoring match in the hotel room. It really was kind of the beginning of a kind of a vacation tradition for me, my nephew, and my sister, because we all would be kept awake by my mother and my ex-brother-in-law because we all shared the hotel room. And so we started basically pulling all-nighters together, walking around the hotel. It was a really nice hotel. It was a Hyatt Regency. I was very fortunate to be able to tag along on these vacations as a child. And man, oh man, you know, me and my nephew Blake, we would have so much fun going around the resort, looking at things. Definitely, you know, they had you know, just all kinds of things to look at, different trails. It was a big resort, and we would just sit around, hang out, and wait for the coffee shop to open up, and then my sister would join me, Michelle would join us, I should say, because none of us could sleep, none of us could get any shut eye with those two in the room. And so it was, I relate very hard with that. He talked about how he keeps his room nice, briskly, and cold. I got fortunate with my wife that we agree totally on that. And I must say this, couples that say they like to fall asleep in each other's arms, they like to cuddle or hold each other tight at night, are liars. You're liars. Each and every one of you are lying. And if anybody out there says they actually like it and the other one doesn't, I believe the one that says they doesn't, and I think the one that says they like it, are totally bullshitting, because that is way too hot. There's too much body heat. Man, like, you know, people that say, oh man, my partners turn their back to me while they're asleep. No, it's called comfort, y'all. And I got lucky with my wife. We both agree, man. We're both, you know, we both like to be nice and cold and bundled up in our own blankets, because that's just the most comfortable way to sleep, right? That is the, for us, that is super nice. We cuddle up underneath our own blankets, and we're nice and cold, and we fall asleep like that. And it's totally fine, because it's all about comfort, man. If you like, I would love to meet someone who actually likes so when someone's laying on them for an extended period of time. Like, you know, it's okay to cuddle for a little bit, but my God, after a little bit, it gets hot, it gets uncomfortable, and we just both are just like, all right, that's enough. So, you know, we'll hold each other for a little bit, but then we're eventually both like, all right, get off me. We both generate enough body heat together that we just can't stay like that forever. Anyways, y'all, just had to get that off my chest after I listened to Anthony's podcast. I was just like, man, that is too true. Alrighty, y'all. Before I get into the streams, before we talk more about fantasy baseball, let's talk a little bit about the dudes and the people over at Bet Online. Bet Online is number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right along to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker. Unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, 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 for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online. The game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. Let's get into the baseball. Let's get into the topic, the discussion that y'all are here to hear. You're here to hear. Didn't realize how. Anyways, so as always, I'm going to quickly recap today's streams. If you want more information on these names, listen to Anthony's podcast yesterday before I dive deep into tomorrow's streams. The rules are simple. 65% are owned or under. They will probably be talked about as a stream. If they're not talked about, it's because they are heavily rostered and they're not streams, or you're not touching them with a 10-foot pole. The first name on Anthony's list is Matt Waldron. He's actually going to be starting tomorrow, so he's on my list. Tyler Anderson has Seattle. It's a good matchup. And then we got Andrew Heaney against Houston. He talks about how Houston has struggled a little bit at home against lefties. Calls him a deep league 14-team play. Carson Spears against Miami has a golden matchup. His fades are Kyle Harrison against Minnesota because of the matchup. He fades Sean Manaea against the Rockies. Yes, even outside of Coors, because Manaea has been bad at home and the Colorado Rockies haven't been terrible against lefties on the road. And then Spencer Schwalenbach is his last fade, who, because he talks about how Schwalenbach is bad outside of Atlanta. Alrighty, y'all. Let's get into my first name on my list for tomorrow, and that's Zach Littell. And I am calling him a overall fade because he is rostered in 22% of leagues, and in the leagues that he would be available in, which would be about maybe 14-team leagues or deeper, I'm fading him except for people maybe in 16-team leagues that have him on your roster already. Then I would probably use him in those situations. And this has more to do with how bad Littell has been as opposed to his matchup with Cleveland. Cleveland against righties on the road haven't been all that great. And if y'all listen to my last podcast, this is something I meant to mention. Go back if you can. If you get 30 minutes of time, go listen to my Making Sense of Alphabet Soup podcast that came out a few days ago. In that podcast, I break down specific under-the-hood stats, sabermetrics, whatever you want to call them, and I talk about how good they are at predicting the rankings of the surface stats. I talk about homers, runs scored, and batting average. And so the two numbers that I'm going to be harping on in this podcast are WRC plus and WOBA, because and expected slugging, because those three numbers were very powerful numbers at predicting some key stats, particularly WOBA. Weighted on base average was very good at predicting the rankings of runs, home runs, and batting average. So I'm really going to be harping on these numbers in this podcast. And so now let's dive in to Cleveland's numbers. They're 25th in WOBA. 21st in WOBA, and they are also 21st in WRC plus at 86. Another number that was pretty solid was hard contact. You know, it wasn't as powerful, but it was really good at predicting runs scored, and I believe batting average. And so the hard contact was at 24th. So why am I fading Littell? Well, his WOBA against him in the last 30 days is sitting at 413. That's very high. The league average for WOBA is around 306. So that 413 WOBA is not all that pretty. He has a very poor barrel rate against him at 13.2%, and the expected slugging against him on the year is 449. Barrel and slugging were very good, pretty, really, really good at predicting home runs. And so we have a massive blow-up risk here with Littell because he's allowing a high WOBA over his last 30, over the last 30 days, last five or six starts of his, has a very high WOBA, a very high barrel rate, a very high expected slugging. All these numbers were very good at predicting home runs. And then you look at his surface stats match up with it, with a 167 whip in his last 30 days, a 729 ERA. The FIP was 488. So look, overall, man, this, if you want to call him a volume play, I guess, but with a 23% strikeout rate is not all that great. I mean, it's okay, I guess, and a 5.3 walk rate. So the upside isn't great, right? The win chance in this game is not all that great for the Rays. It's if you're going for volume, there really isn't much volume to go after here because the win chance isn't great. The strikeout rate isn't something so awesome. You're like, oh wow, he could go out and get a ton of strikeouts. The odds of that happening are not all that great. I want to be a little fair to Littell, so I'll give you a couple of positive numbers. Three of his last four starts have actually been pretty solid. He's allowed two earned runs or less and five innings pitched. It's really the numbers are exploded because of two hugely poor outings against him. But the thing is, those expected numbers, I mean, those the WOBA and the expected slugging and the barrel rates all tell me that more than likely those good starts were probably more luck, and then the poor starts were probably real because of the barrel rates, because of the expected slugging that he's shown on the year, because of the WOBA that he's shown recently. I expect this to not be very good for Littell. If you're in 16 team leagues, I think that is about where you're going to probably start him, just because he has shown a little bit of success lately, and the Cleveland offense really doesn't scare me. Remember, they're 21st themselves in WOBA. Their WOBA is only 288. Their WRC plus is only 86 in the last 30 days against righties on the road. So the Cleveland offense isn't all that great, and Littell has shown some success on the surface level in three of his last four starts while allowing two earned runs or less in five innings pitched. So, you know, in 16 team leagues, I can see you starting him, but he's so heavily rostered, he's not available in the leagues that I would use him in. So he is not a stream. He is an overall fade, except for the deepest of leagues. Okay. We're moving on. Gavin Williams. Gavin Williams, Mr. Gavin Williams. I talked about his last time out. I'd be taking a look at the fastball. And there was one great progression with his fastball, but there was one part of the fastball that did not come around. The velocity went up to 97.5 on average in his last start, which is up from his 95.7 average from last year. So the velocity is there. The extension is excellent still, right? So the velocity and extension are there. However, the inverted vertical break, the vertical break against him is still not there. So yeah, he has great extension and great a good velocity. So those are two positives, but I don't necessarily like the vertical break on it still. And then you go and take a look at the fact that he, if I'm going to remind y'all of his ERA estimators from last season. He had a 4.57 xFIP and a 4.61 Sierra. He also had a really high left on base rate of 78.3%. So the dude was pretty lucky last year, and I think that he is a sell high if he continues to perform. And for tomorrow against the Rays, I am using him in all formats, because the Rays have not been all that great over the last 30 days against righties at home. They're 24th in WOBA, 19th in WRC+, 21st in hard contact, and overall, they're third worst in the league in expected slugging. So this offense does not have a ton of home run potential inside of it, which increases the likelihood that Gavin Williams does well. The blow-up potential for him is not necessarily there. And then if you go and look at what Gavin Williams has done this year on the surface, against the Tigers and the White Sox, his expected slugging in these two starts is 461. Ooh, that's not good. And the barrel rate against him is 9.4%. That's also not very good. So the dude has that high expected slugging. I know it's a small sample size right this year, but what he's done this year so far, he has that high expected slugging and a high barrel rate. So those are two numbers that I do not like for him moving forward. And then if you look at what he has a 4.82 ERA overall, but to be fair to him, the FIP is 2.63. So he probably should have done it a little bit better. But I think overall, Gavin Williams, you're using him tomorrow. You are streaming him. If he's available in your leagues, probably about 10-team leagues or shallower, he's probably available, and I'm using him against the Rays. And then I would sell him high. I would try to see, especially in those 12-team leagues, I would try to see if I can get something along a top 40 pitcher for him, because he's going to have, people are going to look at the surface ERA last year of 3.29, and then look at the fact that he's done well against the Rays and the Tigers so far this year, and they're going to think, all right, he's going to be a pretty solid pitcher, and I do not think he's going to be a top 40 or so arm. I think he's going to be more in the top 50, I mean, going to be more like top 55, top 60 range or so. So I think you can trade him for a better arm that has a better outlook for the rest of the season, because his ERA estimators from last season were very poor with a high left on base rate. So I do think that Gavin Williams is a bit of a sell high if he continues to do well. But just for tomorrow, you're starting him. All right. Simeon Woods Richardson. He is 18% owned, and he has the Giants here. And look, what I love the most about Simeon Woods Richardson is that if you go back and look at his game log, in 13 of his 15 starts, he has allowed 3 earned runs or less. In 13 of his 15 starts, yes, there are some starts in there where you're looking at 4 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, which isn't necessarily great. You know, it's not all that good. However, what that tells me is Simeon Woods Richardson does not have like a massive blow up potential. It's not like he has a ton of starts where he just has just completely and utterly shit the bed, right? His floor is solid, right? It's not like he doesn't have a massive blow up risk. And he has a Giants offense tomorrow against Rodgers at home in the last 30 days. They're 22nd in WOBA and 16th in WRC+. So they're kind of middling to lesser on the offense in terms of an offense. And then you go look at some key numbers for Simeon Woods Richardson. He has a 285 WOBA. The average is 306. So the WOBA against him was about 20 points lower than league average. Remember, WOBA is a very powerful predictor. And then we go look at his hard hit rate of 31.2%, which is pretty okay, which is solid, right? That's a solid hard contact number against him. And then, however, we venture into yellow flag territory with him because he does have a 421 expected slugging, which means that he does have a pretty big somewhat of a blow up risk there, especially when you consider the Giants have the 13th best expected slugging on the year as a team. So Simeon Woods Richardson is, at the end of the day, is a bit of a yellow flag because I do think the Giants have a decent home run potential being eighth. I forgot to mention they're eighth in hard contact and 13th in expected slugging. And expected slugging was excellent at predicting home runs. And so you got a team with a decent expected slugging number against a pitcher like Simeon Woods Richardson, who does have a pretty high expected slugging against him at 421. Now, 421 is not super high either, right? The league average expected slugging is 406. And so it's not like his expected slugging is astronomically high, right? So you got a not super high expected slugging and a pretty low WOBA of 286. And so overall, I think Simeon Woods Richardson is just saying, meh. A middling to okay, probably on the lesser end of the scale in terms of, you know, how good of a pitcher he is overall. But he's facing an offense that, yeah, overall, they're 22nd in WOBA and 16th in WRC+. And those two numbers were overall the most powerful predictors in terms of combination of predicting runs, home runs, and batting average. So you got a Giants offense that doesn't scare me all that much. However, they are 8th in hard contact, 13th in expected slugging. Those two numbers were not as powerful as WOBA and WRC+, but they were still pretty solid at predicting things. So there is some risk here with Simeon Woods Richardson. I would call him a overall yellow flag in terms of 12 team leagues and deeper. Against Houston, he did well. He had 6 innings pitched against with 2 earned runs, 3 hits, and 2 walks. So he did well against the Astros. And also, I want to point out his barrel rate in his last 30 days is only 7.2%, which is just slightly below average. And so, you know, you got a decent WOBA, a decent barrel rate against him, not a super high expected slugging, even though it's a little higher than I would like it to be. And he has a very decent hard contact rate against him at 31.2%. So there's some numbers to like about Simeon Woods Richardson, but the matchup isn't perfect. So I do call him a yellow flag stream for 12 teamers and deep, and for 12 teamers at 14 team and deeper. I'm using him in all those scenarios, again, starting at 14 team leagues and deeper. At 12 teamers, I would just see him as a volume play. Okay, Spencer Arrighetti is next. And overall, Spencer Arrighetti is a 14-team volume play. I'm not using him in standard size leagues tomorrow. Let's talk a little more deeper as to why. He has the Rangers against righties on the road in the last 30 days. They're 26th in WOBA and WRC+. However, They are 10th in hard contact. So, you know, like I said, hard contact is an okay stat at predicting these things, but WOBA and WRC Plus are significantly better, and they are 26th in both of those. So the matchup is there for Arrighetti. However, in his last five starts, the numbers have not been pretty. He has a 7.48 ERA with a 5.94 FIP. Blech. The strikeout rate is 24.8%, which is okay. It's a solid strikeout rate, but it's not like, oh yeah, you got to go chase that strikeout upside. He hasn't really shown a massive strikeout upside overall. And so in terms of calling him a volume play, the strikeout upside is kind of there, but it's not like so big that I think 12 teamers can go after him for the volume. I mean, I guess with the Astros against the Rangers, the Astros are winning more lately. So I guess it's a decent win chance. So maybe I can, okay, 12 teamers, you could call him a volume play. That's a decent win chance, and the strikeout rate isn't negligible. It's there, so the strikeout upside is somewhat good, and the win chance is pretty good as well. So I can see you going with Arrighetti and 12 teamers strictly as a volume play. The blow-up risk is huge here, so if you're going to use him in 12 teamers, make sure you don't give two flying Fs about your ERA whip. You do not care about those two stats, then you can go with Arrighetti, because I can see him getting like a strikeout per inning, and I can see him going five innings and getting the dub. So those are two, 12-team volume, I guess. 14 teams, definitely for the volume. I think I'm probably using him in most deeper leagues because he does have a good matchup. And then there are two other numbers, two other predicted numbers that I think are solid for Arrighetti. He's only allowing a 27% hard contact number and a 389 expected slugging. So that expected slugging is below league average, and he does have a good below, significantly below, and I don't know, significantly below league average. I think league average on hard contact is somewhere in around the low to mid 30s, and he's at 27% on the hard contact. So a decent expected slugging against him. He doesn't allow a ton of hard contact, so I do see since Arrighetti having some potential to do well. So deeper leagues, I can see you going with him because he has the matchup and he has the expected slugging number that I do like, but the WOBA against him is terrible at 407. That is almost 100 points higher than league average. So the WOBA against Arrighetti has not been pretty. So I do see the potential flow for a blow-up risk happening here. And so for Arrighetti, he is a very risky 12-team volume play. In 14-team leagues, he's a definite volume play. And then we get deeper than 14, I'm probably seeing him as a start in all the formats, deeper than 14. Team leagues, 14, 12 team leagues, kind of see them as a volume play where you don't care about your ERA and whip. Okay, let's talk Jose Soriano. He's 15% owned, and he has the Mariners. The Mariners on the road against righties in the last 3 days, they've been pretty solid. They're 13th in WOBA and WRC+, and they're 5th in hard contact. Those are some pretty okay numbers. They're also 16th overall in the year in expected slugging. So they have a decent home run chance. However, remember, they strike out a ton. They're facing a pitcher in Jose Soriano who has a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. So anytime you have those two numbers together, those two things happening, there's a decent strikeout chance here for Soriano. And here's the problem, though. The one thing I harp on with Soriano all year is his ability to find the strike zone. And since he's come back from the injured list, the strike zone numbers have not been great. He's only got 62% strikes in the first outing, 58% strikes in his last time out. That gives me some pause because Soriano hasn't shown the type of control that he needs in order to have success. I talked about this last time I talked about Soriano when he came off the injured list. In those games leading up to getting off the injured list, Soriano had found his stride. He had been throwing strikes and he had been doing well. However, since he's returned, he has not found the strike zone lately, so that does give me some pause, which makes me see him as a 12-team volume play only. I'm using him only in 14-team leagues and deeper. I'm only using him 14-team leagues and deeper because, look, there are some numbers here that I still really like about him. His WOBA is only 305. The WHIP against him, now this is his last four starts, so this includes his two starts after the injured list and two starts before the injured list. So that 305 WOBA is solid. A solid 1.09 WHIP. He has just a 5.7% walk rate. There are some other numbers that I really like. When you go and look at his ground ball rate, is 67%. That's an excellent ground ball rate. And when you go look at what the ground ball rate was really good at predicting, was home runs. And anytime you have a pitcher that has a very high ground ball rate, that's going to limit his home run blow up risk. At least according to my podcast, Making Sense of Alphabet Soup. I do like Jose Soriano overall as a pitcher, because also in these four starts, he's only allowed a 5.8 barrel rate and the expected slugging is only 389. So he has a low hard contact rate, a decent WOBA, a very high ground ball rate, a low barrel rate. So he has a bunch of good predictive stats that tell me that Soriano can have success tomorrow. However, you got to put some respect on the Mariners' names in terms of what they've done for WOBA and WRC Plus themselves, being 13th and 5th in hard contact. They're 16th in expected slugging. So you got to put some respect on the Mariners' name. They are a risky offense to go against because they do have the potential to hit a homer. They have a potential to do well. But I do like Soriano's numbers overall with the WOBA, the hard contact, effective slugging, ground ball rate, and barrel rates all in his favor. And all of those stats were pretty solid at predicting, especially home runs. And when you look at the expected slugging and the ground ball rate, the barrel rates are all in the range where you want them to be in terms of limiting the home run potential. And Soriano, I think, is going to be okay tomorrow. Use him in 14-team leagues because of the matchup. Isn't all that great. I'm fading him in 12 teams overall. Maybe if you're going for a volume play, it's a 50-50 win chance. So it's, you know, the Mariners against the Angels, you know, it's not like a great win chance. It's about 50-50. So, you know, in terms of the volume play, he also doesn't have a high strikeout rate himself. It's 14%. The strikeout upside comes to the fact that he throws 99 and he's facing a Mariners offense that strikes out a lot themselves, right? So the strikeout upside is mainly because of how bad the Mariners are, or how bad they are in terms of strikeouts. So the decent strikeout upside with Soriano with the 50-50 win chance, that makes him an okay 12-team volume if you really don't care about the potential for a blow-up risk, because the Mariner offense with their fifth-ranked hard contact, which is decent at predicting homers, and the WOBA and WRC Plus being top half of the league, it's a bit risky there. But in 14-team leagues and deeper, I'm going for it. All right, Christian Scott. A 25% own. He has the Rockies away from Coors. And here's the thing. The Rockies away from Coors against righties in the last 30 days, they're dead last in WOBA and WRC+. Remember, those are the two numbers that are excellent at predicting runs, home runs, and batting average. All three of the key surface stats there, right? So the Rockies are terrible at those two things, which makes Christian Scott a 12-team play and deeper. You look at what Scott has done overall, though, it gives me even more hope. He has a 276 WOBA against him. That's really good. A 30.7% hard hit rate. That's pretty solid as well. And then you go look at his line drive rate. Line drive rate was decent at predicting batting average and home runs, and that's an exceptionally low line drive rate. I think around 14%. So Christian Scott has all the numbers that you like in terms of WOBA, hard contact. Those two numbers were pretty solid at predicting the surface stats. The barrel rate was also really good at predicting surface stats, and his barrel rate is at 7.8%, which is around league average, so it's not great, but it's not like he's getting barreled up more than other pitchers. It's around league average. So you got an average barrel rate, a very good wOBA, a very good hard hit rate, an excellent line drive rate. Then that all adds up to the fact, and again, you're facing a Colorado Rockies offense that's terrible, terrible against righties on the road. I'm going with Christian Scott tomorrow in 12 teams and deeper. Mitchell Parker is next, and he was my man last time out. Called him the Michelin Man, and if you used him last time, good for you. This time around, he's a yellow flag. He has the Milwaukee offense against lefties at home in the last 30 days. They're 12th in WRBA, 13th in WRC+. However, there are some numbers to like about the Milwaukee offense that makes it to where you can make an argument that he can have success against his offense. They are 29th in hard contact and 3rd in ground ball rate, 23rd in fly ball rate. Ground ball rate and fly ball rate specifically were best at predicting home runs more than anything else. And so that kind of limits the idea that this could blow up in his face. The Milwaukee offense is also only 18th overall in expected slugging. So when it comes to four key numbers at predicting home runs, hard hit rate, ground ball rate, fly ball rate, and expected slugging, the Milwaukee offense is very uninspiring. However, the two most powerful numbers, wOBA and WRC+, they're 12th and 13th. So overall, this is a risky play because the offense in Milwaukee is pretty solid. In Mitchell Parker's last six starts, however, he does have a 3.28 ERA with a 4.35 FIP, which is not all that great. The wOBA against Mitchell Parker is 3.01, which is just slightly below league average. That's pretty okay. He has a 31.2% hard hit rate, which is also slightly below league average. However, the expected slugging against Mitchell Parker is 4.45. And then you also got to go and take a look at the fact that he is a fly ball pitcher, and his home run to fly ball ratio has kind of leveled out. And I talked a little bit about his home run luck in terms of how it was pretty high. The home run to fly ball number was pretty high going into the last start, but it leveled out. And so it's not like he's getting super unlucky. And the expected slugging at 4.45 makes this a pretty risky play, even though he does have a decent wOBA against him and a decent hard contact against him. So yellow flag stream here for 12 teams. Especially since the upside isn't all that great. It's not a very good win chance with the Nationals against the Brewers. So it's not a great win chance. There's not a ton of strikeout upside here. So if you're chasing volume, you probably want to look somewhere else than Mitchell Parker. So in terms of, he is a yellow flag, especially in 12-team leagues. I'm only considering him in 14-team leagues and deeper at 33% owned. He's maybe available in those 14-team leagues, maybe. So overall, the stream, he's probably not a great one because the roster ship number isn't there. But the Milwaukee offense does have some numbers in the hard hit, ground ball, fly ball, expected slugging are not super inspiring. So the Milwaukee offense isn't super elite, but they're also not bad at 12th in WOBA and 13th in WRC+. With Mitchell Parker's really high expected slugging, then I can see this being a very risky play, especially in 12-team leagues and shallower because the volume is not there. So I'm only considering him starting in 14-team leagues. Okay. Up next is my man, Dallas Keuchel. I'm a big Astros fan, so I have an affinity for Dallas Keuchel, but there is a reason why I haven't put him on my streamers list since he's made it back to the bigs. However, against the Nationals, against lefties, they are terrible. To get this is starting from I believe May 25th to yesterday. I had to extend the sample size out to get a bigger to get to over 200 plate appearances. And when I did that, you looked at what the Nationals done against lefties on the road. They are 30th in WRC plus and wOBA. Those two powerful numbers. So Dallas Keuchel has the matchup tomorrow. So 16-team leagues and deeper, you're going with him because he's only 1% owned. So he should be available. And if you're in a deep, deep league, I like Dallas Keuchel tomorrow, but only in deep leagues. Because the numbers against Dallas Keuchel are terrible. He has a 3.77 wOBA. Yeah. A expected slugging of 4.61. Also, bleh. However, He does have a 6.5% barrel rate. That's not bad. And then you have a decent ground ball rate of 44.4%. That's also not bad. The ground ball rate was okay at predicting homers. The fly ball rate was also pretty good at predicting homers. And he's 35% in the fly ball rate. That's a decent number. So he's inducing a good number of ground balls. He's not allowing a lot of fly balls. And both those numbers, while not the most powerful, were pretty solid at predicting home runs. And so there is so that limits the home run risk because of the barrel, the fly ball rate, and the ground ball rate. I want to say this too. The barrel rate was excellent at predicting home runs, and his barrel rate at 6.5% is below league average. And so he's allowing below league average barrel rates with a solid ground ball and fly ball rates, which limits the home run potential here. However, the expected slugging and the WOBA, which are the two most powerful at predicting these things, was 461 expected slugging. That's very bad. And a 377 WOBA is also very bad. So you got Keuchel, who has some good numbers against him, but the biggest and powerful numbers are terrible. So I'm fading him all the way to 16-team leagues because he does have an excellent matchup against the Nationals, who are awful against lefties. Alrighty, y'all. Let's talk Luis L. Ortiz. He has the White Sox and against righties at home in the last 30 days. The White Sox are terrible. They're 30th in WRC Plus and WOBA. There are two most powerful predictors here. So they're terrible. And then you look at what Luis Ortiz has done, and he hasn't been bad, man. Over his last five starts, he has a 3.52 ERA, back with a FIP of 2.65. Those are some pretty solid numbers. He has a 23% strikeout rate and a very low 1.1% walk rate. So he is not hurting himself at all. And then he has a very high BABIP of 382. And then let's go take a look at some of these underlying numbers. The WOBA being at 335 does give me a little bit of pause. That's kind of a high WOBA. But the hard contact rate is pretty low at 31.4%. He has a pretty high ground ball rate of 45.7%, a decently low fly ball rate of 35%. The expected slugging against him is 412, which is only slightly above average. So it's not a super high expected slugging against him. So you got a somewhat high WOBA, a somewhat high expected slugging, but it's not so high that I'm scared because the White Sox offense is so terrible. And then you pair those not super high WOBA, not super high expected slugging, right? So especially the expected slugging is only 412. The WOBA is kind of high, but look, again, you have the White Sox here. So these numbers are good enough for the White Sox, especially when you consider the decent hard contact number, a really good ground ball and fly ball number. Both those numbers were pretty solid at predicting things. And also the White Sox offense are 27th themselves in expected slugging. And so you got a White Sox offense that is terrible in the key predictor stats, and a Luis Ortiz who is just not terrible at these predictor stats, plus a very low walk rate of 1.1%, a 382 bat. So he's been getting unlucky, and the FIP shows it at 265. So I am rolling with Luis L. Ortiz in 12-team leagues and deeper tomorrow. All right, let's talk about the Cardinal pitchers in the doubleheader tomorrow, Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. Lance Lynn is a fade. Lance Lynn, I'm fading him against the Cubs. The Cubs themselves on the road against righties in the last 30 days are 13th in WOBA and WRC+. So they are a solid offense, and Lance Lynn has been far from solid himself. Over his last five starts, he has a 3.55 WOBA against him. That translates to a 6.81 ERA and a 5.53 FIP. Bleh. He has a decent ground ball rate of 43% and a fly ball rate of 37%. It's not great. It's not super awesome either. The hard hit rate is also kind of meh at 32%. But this is when things start to look real ugly for Lynn. We look at that FIP of 555, the WOBA 355, the barrel rate. Remember, barrel rate, very good at predicting home runs, is very high against him at 12.3%. That translates to an expected slugging of 462, which is also extremely high against
against him. So I do not like Lance Lynn tomorrow. I am fading him. Do not start him against the Cubs. The barrel rate is for the slugging where it's at is super high. The WOBA is also super high. Okay, next is Kyle Gibson, and I am going to call him a decent 12-team, of volume play here, and I think I'm using him in 14-team leagues and deeper because he has a WOBA of 311, which is okay. He actually has a really high strikeout rate his last four starts at 29.5%, so he's been getting a lot of strikeouts lately. He has a very good ground ball rate of 49.5%, a low fly ball rate of 30.2%, a low hard contact rate of 22.6%, which is actually pretty solid. And his barrel rate in his last four starts is only 7.5%. It's 9.5 on the year. So most recent starts, Kyle Gibson has been avoiding barrels, avoiding hard contact, inducing a lot of ground balls, and not allowing a lot of fly balls with a very good barrel rate. All four of those numbers are very good home run predictors, which means that Kyle Gibson does not have a super high home run threat against him. He does have a sort of high expected slugging of 432, but I'm gonna put my confidence in his most recent numbers that show a WOBA of only 311, which is right around league average. So it's not a very high WOBA. It's a excellent barrel rate of 7.5%, very good hard contact ground ball rate and fly ball rates that all predict home runs at least pretty solidly. Overall, the barrel rate actually was very, very good at predicting homers, and he has a low one. So I do like Kyle Gibson in 14-team leagues or deeper. Because the strikeout rate has been pretty high lately, I can see the volume play in 12 teams with a 50-50 win chance. Real quick, the next guy on the list, I'm just going to talk about him real fast. 4% on the Dodgers starter, looking like it's going to be Justin Wobleski. He is a 16-team league or deeper win chance only. Do you need a win? Then go with this guy, because there's a chance he can go 5 with the Dodger offense backing him up against a poor Detroit offense against left-handed hitters, against lefties at home lately. They're 25th in WRC plus and WOBA. So you got a very poor Detroit Tiger offense against the starting pitcher for the Dodgers. Doesn't matter who it is. The Wobleski is a 16-team league win chance only. And yeah, that's risky still. So you're chasing a win in very deep leagues, go with this guy. Other than that, you're not using him. Okay, Matt Waldron is, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, he was on Anthony's list yesterday. He's on my list today. So I won't repeat a whole lot of what Anthony said, but I will say this about the Atlanta offense who he's facing. I talked about this in the Making Sense of Alphabet Soup podcast, but I do encourage you to go listen to it. I called the Atlanta offense one of the more unluckiest offenses in the league. They are 4th in the league in expected slugging, but they're only 13th in home runs hit. They're also 2nd in the league in hard hit rate and 12th in fly ball rate. Hard hit rate and fly ball rate were pretty solid at predicting home runs, but the number one predictor of home runs was expected slugging, and they're 4th in the league in expected slugging. So I do want to put a little more respect on Atlanta's name. I know the WRC Plus and the WOBA have been terrible in the last 30 days, and those two numbers are the most powerful predictors overall when combined looking at runs, home runs, and batting average. So the Atlanta offense is not all that great at 29th in WOBA and 29th in WRC Plus over the last 30 days against righties, but Matt Waldron has a excellent WOBA against him of only 298 with a 6.9% barrel rate, a 29% hard contact rate, a 36% ground ball rate, a 44% fly ball rate. So those are all solid numbers. All those numbers are decent to really good at predicting home run blow up potential. And so I am really with Matt Waldron tomorrow in all leagues. But I do want to say the Atlanta offense is not going to be an offense you want to stream pitchers against overall. Alrighty, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Be sure you follow me at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at @EthosFantasyBB, at @EthosFantasyBB. Make sure you're checking out the Ethos Fantasy NFL content. content, the Ethos Fantasy NBA content. Go follow both of those guys. Go follow both those accounts to get you the information you need on the NBA offseason, the NFL preseason draft guide. Go check it all out, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Y'all have a great day.